Welcome back to Aliyah Yomi. Today we're going to be learning Vayakel Shishi, the sixth Aliyah in Parshas Vayakel. This Aliyah talks about the making of the menorah and the golden mizbeach. We hear about the menorah. Again, it is one solid piece of gold, and it has six different kanim, different branches coming out, three in each direction, all facing towards the middle. We have our different types of descriptions of the beautiful adornments. It has gevi'im, these are cups. It has meshukadim, which are engraved. We have a kaftor, which is this sphere, and a ferach. And we hear just the different orientations. Each beam has, of each branch of the menorah has three cups. And we have a kaftor and a ferach, a sphere and a flower. And we hear about how this all works and how the menorah all fits together. And it's different. It's different kalim, the different vessels necessary to tend the menorah. Then we hear about the golden mizbeach, which we know is made of wood, acacia wood, and it is. We hear about its height. It's covered with gold. It has these horns. It then sits in the kodesh and has a crown around it, two rings, and its staves to carry it. It is used for ketores. And at the very end of the aliyah, we hear about the creation of the shemen hamishcha and the ketores hasamen. So that is the anointing oil and the incense spices. Those were described at the beginning of Parshas Kisisa in instruction, and now we hear about it in practicality. Our aliyah, just as a quick recap, is from Perek Lamed Zayin, Pasuk Yud Zayin to Chof Tes, which is 13 psukim long. A few points to ponder. Number one is, you'll notice something fascinating, and that is, if you notice in the description over here of the menorah, you will notice that it is missing one thing. This is a very subtle moment, but in the initial commandment of the creation of the menorah, the way it described it is, it says, menoras zahav. It was a menorah of gold. In our parsha here in Vayakel, it describes Vayas es haMenorah. They made the menorah of zahav tahar, of gold. It's almost as if in the description of the creation of the menorah, it's a little less connected to the fact that it has to be gold. Of course, it is gold, but it's not a golden menorah. They made the menorah out of gold. The Aruch HaKadosh comments on this, and he says that what we're to learn from this is a very interesting aspect, and that is that in the Mishkan, it needed to be gold. But in the Migdash, in the base of Migdash, it was not Ma'akev. It did not stop the process from being fulfilled. That means to say, if the menorah was not completely gold, it would not be a problem. Now you say, well, why would the Torah hint at this? Why is this necessary? The answer is, this actually had to be used at a particular time. You know, when we celebrate Chanukah, we think about the beautiful menorah being lit and so on. That menorah was not used the year of Chanukah, the Gemara tells us. The beautiful menorah was desecrated, defiled, and was not able to be in use when the Jews re-entered the temple. In fact, what they did was they took spears and drove them into the ground and lit the menorah on the spears. That's what they created a menorah made out of the war equipment. Sort of, you know, in the Havdil today, we think about the menorahs made of the rockets from Gaza. That was more like what it was, a bedil out of you know, this tin. It was not made out of gold. So that indicates that in the actual creation of the Mishkan, the menorah, it seems there's a little bit of space given because of the future where it may not be fully gold. Anyways, let's go a little further and perhaps draw this home. If you count the numbers of cups, spheres, and flowers in the menorah, you'll notice that there are 42 in all. The Rambam in Hilchos Beis Avichira in the Mishnah Torah tells us that if the menorah was gold, then it needed to have all 42 adornments of these, whether they be cups, flowers, or spheres. But if it was made of another metal, as the Aruch HaYom was indicating, then it did not need or would not have these 42 adornments. So if they had to make a temporary menorah made out of iron, for argument's sake, then it would not have all these 42 adornments. The Mishnah Chachma says, Rav Meir Simcha Devinsky, you see a very important idea behind this. And that is that the 42 symbols are really corresponding to the 42 letters of the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of Hashem. Is it a very long name of Hashem, which is 42 letters long? And that name can only be divulged to somebody who is absolutely pure. And that's the notion. The menorah only had these 42 adornments when it was Zahav Tahar, when it was absolutely pure. If it was another metal, if it wasn't worthy, it did not have those adornments. It's important not to jump the gun. It's important not to take ideas which are too esoteric for a person when they're not quite there yet. They don't have the basics in place, and yet they're not pure, but they're trying to get other ideas. Very complicated idea. The Eimek Dovar actually points out a very beautiful point, and that is that there's a description over here in the menorah when the Bezalel makes it, which is Kaftor Vaferach, which means the sphere and the flower. Now, you have to imagine the artisanship over here is incredible, just the degree of skill and precision to carve out a large block of gold into a candelabra out of one block, and to have these beautiful like spheres, which are really not spheres because it's carved out of the block, just to look like spheres sort of with the flower at the bottom. It's remarkable. And so he quotes the Haemek Dover, Rav Berlin quotes the Gemara, which says that when Rabbi Tarfon, the great sage of the Mishnah, would hear a beautiful idea in Torah, he would say, Kaftor Vaferach, exquisite, it's like a sphere and a flower, as on the menorah. And in fact, the Netziv goes to numerous examples at length to show that the menorah representing the wisdom, the light, was in fact a notion of learning of Torah, which is why Rabbi Tarfon used the description of the menorah as a description, adjective for beautiful thoughts in Torah, which is still used today. Many people will use this phrase as an idiom for a description of something which is beautiful, Kaftor Vaferach. And he points out that in the discipline of Torah, the Torah is the central shaft of the menorah, and the six other shafts or branches are really the other disciplines and wisdoms which are centered around the central shaft. That's the way it needs to work. Rav Soloveitchik points out that, in fact, if you look at the Desaliyah, there are two different services of Hashem, and that is the menorah and the mizbeach are now placed together. But not only are they placed together, we heard at the end of Parashas Tetzaver that their services are linked. Uvalos Aronis Aneros ben Abraham Yaktirena. That we know that when would Aaron light the candles, that's when he would tend to the Ketores, the incense as well, on a daily basis. Why is that? Rav Soloveitchik explains that these are two modalities of our relationship to the divine. The menorah is a symbol of our service in which Hashem is clear and incandescent, it's light. But Ketores, the spices, is more about the craving for the divine, but not seeing the details, not seeing the great light, contemplating what the Rav Soloveitchik calls the mysterious magnum of the universe. That's why the Ketores is used in the service of Aras Yom HaKippurim, when the Kohen goes into the Kodesh HaKadosh and he brings the Ketores with him. It's this cloud, this mystique, this the complex relationship of the depth beyond sight, which is expressed in the smoke of the Ketores. And what the Torah seems to be pointing out is that we need both of these in our service of Hashem. The light and the smoke, the clear and the mysterious, the disciplined and the impassioned all together. And that's the menorah, and that is the Mizbeach HaZahav as well. And it is worthwhile noting, and the Ramban points out, that the Mishkan is a command, or the description of the Mishkan is repeated five times, whether it be the two major times or the other summaries of it in the Torah. And he explains this is to give us the schar, the merit of learning it, in great detail, and the lessons and ideas we need to learn from it, which is why this is so central, why we're trying to spend time on appreciating this with renewed eyes and ideas. In the meantime, have a wonderful, meaningful day.